Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 600. Woohoo! It's a big number! It's round! Anyway, so, it's episode 600. And I'm guessing, since I usually go into these things not knowing exactly what I'm going to say, that it's going to be something of a mishmash as usual. Got a few things on my mind, but, you know, you just never know what's going to come out of Jay's mouth. That's the Zenith, ADHD, autistic, blah, 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 whatever, Jay thing. I had an incident that I took care of yesterday, and it took care of, and it got taken care of, and I'm grateful. To know that I'm an anxiety person. I'm not an anxiety person to the level that my daughter is. She takes medication to handle it. Or my brother, he takes medication to handle anxiety. I'm pretty steered by my anxieties too. I tend to live what I would consider to be a very safe life. There's some things I don't do because I worry about the consequences of them. Like guns. I don't keep guns in the house. You know, I've got people that sometimes lack judgment in my household. So I don't keep around things that have somewhat of a finality to it. Guns have a finality to it. You get shot with a gun, there's a good chance you're going to die. And that's somewhat final, so I don't do that. Just for that reason. Of course, everybody would come on a break into my house. Let me tell you what. If you stole all the stuff in my house, number one, you'd be doing me a favor. And number two, you'd be so disappointed. After all that effort and all that risk, just how pitiful the haul would be. We really don't have much of value. I mean, you can say, boy, he's got a lot of computers. We go, but they're all garbage. They're all computers that I was given because they were junk. Nobody wanted them anymore. So feel free. Just, you know, don't shoot anybody while you're in there. What's the point? If you want me dead, please do it while I'm out, you know, sleeping at your neighborhood state park. Don't scare my family with it. If you really want me dead. Okay. Is that enough to talk about on anxiety, stuff like that? Because, you know, I'll have dreams of just horrible things. I had a dream not too many nights ago that was just kind of indicative of me. I try to be a decent, if Christian's the right term. I try to be a godly person. I don't want to get into why I avoid using the term Christian very much. It's because it refers to a group of people that I don't necessarily want to associate with. I am a strong believer in, well, I consider myself a strong believer, other people might not, of Jesus Christ. I certainly declare him as my Savior. Well, he's a Savior of everybody. It's not a personal thing. He's a Savior of everybody. It just depends on how much you turn to him as to how much you're going to be saved. I'm obviously not a grace person. At least, that's not all it is. You know, I believe he expects to do something. Anyway, so I don't like using the word Christian in relation to me because I think Christian is a dangerous word. I prefer to be called a follower of Christ, or one who tries to be a follower of Christ. How about that? That's probably the closest to the mark yet. Someday I'll get closer to the mark. Anyway, so I try to do what Christ taught. Christ taught, you know, if somebody slaps you on the cheek, you should offer them the other one. If somebody takes your cloak at the law, which means if they sue you and they get your cloak, offer them your coat also. Or I'm sure I've got the imagery somewhat messed up. I think I've got the basic concept down. I was having this dream, and for some reason this dream, I had some of my kids with me. And of course, I'm very protective of my kids. Anybody would be, which is kind of funny because I take them up into the mountains where there's a good chance of getting killed. But I think that's because, I'm sorry, you need some adventure. You do need to take some risks in life. The safe life is the un-life, the non-life. And so I of course take him up there, and I see these two 20-something guys who are just jerks and just seem to want to make your life miserable. When they figure out you're a Christian, they're going to take advantage of it, you know. They're going to say, oh, you're not being very Christian, so they try to be more Christian, and, you know, they just steal you blind. You know, by saying, well, it says if I take your coat, you should give me your cloak too. Give me that cloak. And while you're at it, why don't you give me your backpack too? And you know, just being really threatening. And when we would try to move and leave, they would either stop us or they would follow us. You know? Like, well, just be a good neighbor. Aren't you supposed to be a good neighbor? And it's like, and it makes it come up again. You know, I don't mind living kind of in the boonies. I don't mind living out of town. And when people say, oh, you shouldn't do that because you're trying to get away from society, and you go, yes, I am, woohoo, that's not very Christian, and you go, I'm sorry, that's your interpretation of what Christ meant. I'm going to take a different tack that says, it's okay. Abraham wandered around in his tent and lived like that. You know, he was nice to his neighbors, but he kept them at a distance, too. These did not end up being particularly his friends. They ended up being just people that he was cordial with and acquainted with. I guess. That's my take on it. Other people have different takes, I'm sure. And other people may even be closer to the correct truth than I am. But that's my take on it. That's what I'm going to go with. But I am. I'm paranoid. Am I almost to the point of being a schizophrenic? Maybe, but hopefully not. Let me see. Oh, hey. I read an article. I read lewrockwell.com. You should too. LewRockwell.com. C-O-M. Cool. And I like that because everybody who writes on that is kind of... I find myself agreeing with them a lot. I am, of course, an anti... Well, not anti. That brings up a whole nother thing. But first, let me finish this Lew Rockwell thought before I wander off somewhere else. Lew Rockwell is anti... Is anti-government, anti-statist. And if you don't understand that term... That's those who think the state should be all important, and you'd say, oh, well, I'm not one of those, and you go, you know, by and large, if you live in the United States, you are. You were taught that by the schools, which is what this Lew Rockwell article was about schools as the indoctrination camps. Anyway, anti-statist, liberty-based type articles from journalists who are those kinds of people. There's not so many of them anymore for the simple reason that it's not fashionable. Liberty's not fashionable. Everybody's about everything else, you know, and journalism about liberty gets kind of, you know, it gets kind of, what's a good term for it? Kind of goofy sometimes, and it's really important to try to separate the fact that somebody sounds like a broken record over and over again because you're talking about pretty much the same things and the same rights being violated all these other things, they can get really tiring sometimes. But every once in a while, there's new nuggets. There's guys that think up different tactics or different ideas for trying to win back a little bit of your liberty, which is, you know, being a statist is somebody who is basically against individual liberty, more for the collective. And, yeah, it smacks of fascism, it smacks of socialism, communism, all those other things. It's what the world is kind of tending toward, especially those who want to, who have a sense of nationalism, you know. Every time I think about Michael Medved. He's a conservative talk show host. And he always likes to talk about the United States, and he calls it, you know, the greatest nation on God's green earth. And it's like, that's statism right there. That's the kind of nationalism that the state, the government, we call it the state, feeds on, you know, to kind of get what they want. And people go along with it because they figure it's patriotic. Everybody seems to want to be some kind of patriot. You know, it sounds really cool, you know. Oh, I'm a patriot. And you're going, I think back to the movie The Bourne Supremacy. And that was the excuse used by, I forget the guy's name, silver-headed guy. He was kind of a CIA somewhat bigwig who was doing all kinds of nasty things. And his final statement before he killed himself, because he was going to be implicated in some horrible conspiracy he was a part of to frame somebody to protect himself, he said, the thing I want you to know is I'm a patriot. And you're going, oh, well, this is very telling. He's a statist. He does whatever the state tells him. He does whatever he thinks is in the best interest of the state. Therefore, he's a patriot. It's just like those who fight in the Iraq War. You know, and we put the little, you know, well, we Americans put the little yellow magnetic ribbon sticker on their car, you know, and they're real, you know, and when they do that, they feel like they're patriots. I'm supporting the troops. Even if you're not for the war, by golly, we support the troops. And you go, you know what that is? Number one, it's nationalistic. It's all about, well, I'm going to support the troops no matter what the government tells them to do, no matter what evil atrocities they are commanded to do in the name of the state, you know? So, statist. Statist is, now you have to remember how Hitler came to power through great nationalist sentiment. He fired it up, and he twisted it into fascism. You know, that's how communism came about, was a inflated state sense of nationalism against the czars. And that's how communism, at least in Russia, was boiled up. Was a kind of, you know, everybody needs to come together, kind of a nation, a national revolution. And it was all about the nation. And they set up their own nation, and, you know what happened to it after that. So this was in the same way. We all talk about our state and how it's much more important than any individual person in it. And the United States, when it was conceived of, was very not that way. It was all about the individual. How can we give, you know, how can we make sure the individual has as many rights as can be wrestled away from kings and emperors and things like that? Things that we believe, rights that we believe people had always had, but that despots had mistaken. So, as well as things go, that's where the term statist comes in, and lewrockwell.com is anti-statist. Anyway, so getting back to the whole thing of the article that I read. This one was about school. School comes up quite often in anti-statist things, because school is one of the primary vehicles of perpetuating allegiance to the state, to the government, to the powers that be. Our overlords are better than your overlords. America is the greatest nation on God's green earth, you know, and we have to do whatever it takes to keep that standing. When you're going, you know, it doesn't matter how many taxes you pay, it doesn't matter how much suffering you go through, it doesn't matter how bad the dollar dives. You know, the most important thing is, my God, the United States of America will be the most powerful nation on earth. And isn't that great? And you go, you know what, I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I see a lot of very small countries that have told America where to get off, basically. And they're able to go on, you know. But I'm starting to almost wander over into another topic I want to talk about. But first, let me talk about that article. The article is about schools, and the guy in there was very pointed, and he's making a name for himself, I would imagine. You know, touting the schools, and other people have too. As government indoctrination centers for youth. And it really is true. When those guys bring up some of the things that are going on, it's really obvious. The reading, writing, arithmetic, the basic learning of children is tertiary. That means third. I don't even know what second is. I think second is going to pep rallies and supporting the football team, which is also somewhat statist, you know. It's all about rooting for the home team and hating the other team. I always found it funny. People would get nasty. Fights would break out at these games between our town's school's football team and the next town over, Santa Rosa's football team. You know, people would go out and clash in the streets. And it's like, they're just from Santa Rosa. They live in the same state we do. They live in the same nation we do. But yet we hate them so vehemently. Oh, those evil people. Now, because I work on a regional level, I tend to stay out of the fray. I am not a school person at all. I could care less what teams do. Now, I talk very casually sometimes with people about sports, although I know nothing. I don't know how our neighborhood school is doing particularly, except that people say, oh, they're doing great, they could go to state this year. And I go, oh, that's nice, they're going to state this year. But, you know, certainly nothing interesting, because, you know, and people will say, well, you're not supporting the community if you don't support our kids' school. And you go, you know what, okay, I'm not supporting the community then. If that's what the community is, no, I don't support that. I think that's just silly. Because I do. I want to make sure people in Santa Rosa die and burn and go down in total defeat. Because unless they do, Tucumcari will never be great ever again. And it's like, oh, God, this is, you know, it can get to that kind of thing. It can get into the kind of weird tribalism that I don't think is really very useful, except to say we have some things in common. We're neighbors, and we want to be nice to our neighbors because we want them to be nice to us. So anyway, he was talking about the fact that schools are, you know, schools are these indoctrination centers. And the fact that this was actually admitted, because you don't hear that very often, you know, people say it and the officials go, no, 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 we're all about the education. And that was so much garbage. The state of California, its Supreme Court, I guess, has decided that they want everybody who teaches children, including homeschool parents, have to be credentialed, and most aren't, because, you know, you have to spend a lot of years, well, no, you have to spend 4 years, maybe a few more, if you want to get more money, getting some certificate in this. And they know that that will do a great harm to homeschooling. You know, schools don't like the competition. So, now here's bringing up this fact, and the fact that the most important thing that was brought up by one of these justices that came up with this, one of these judges, was that it's the primary place where kids learn citizenship, gratitude for their government, and things like that. And it's like, whoa! Because that's them really, that's the statist revealing himself. And you don't catch them doing it very often, unless they think they can get away with it. Apparently he thought he could get away with it. It's really amazing, as the years go by, how brazenly these people will actually reveal what they're doing. This is what I'm all about. I'm all for the government. I want bigger government. I want a more obtrusive government because, you know, it's going to make us safer, or it's going to, you know, or it's better for the poor people, which it rarely is. Anyway, just interesting, brazen statism to say, you know, this is actually what school is about. This is what school is good for. And that's why we're voting the way that we are. Ah, there it is. Throw it right out there on the table. Of course, most people rolled over and yawned. I wouldn't have heard it if it wouldn't have been that I have interest in homeschooling. I homeschool some of my children. And, you know, and so these things become important to me. I want to be able to continue to homeschool some of my children. And if my state decides that this sounds pretty cool, that we can end homeschooling because we can say it's unjust or it's not teaching proper citizenship in a day when proper citizenship is so important, you know, anti-terrorism is the new sword of reestablishing nationalism and statism and empowering it even more, you know, that's what it's there for. I think that's a very deep and happy reason for those who hold power. I call them the overlords sometimes. It makes them very happy. They love a good war because it stirs up national sentiment. People get more united. You can do nasty things to dissenters against, you know, the common mind, because the common mind is much easier to steer. Let me go ahead. I'll go ahead and leave it there. You guys can look up statism. It's state, drop the E and put an ism at the end. And you can look it up. It kind of sounds like statism, but it's statism. And you can look that up and get all kinds of interesting stuff. It's certainly not a term used by those who practice it. That's pretty normal, you know. Liberals often don't like being called liberals. You know, that's a somewhat derogatory term used by those who are not liberal. Statism is used by those who usually refer to themselves as anti-statist. This brings up the whole terms of anti and non. I am a non-statist. I am not seeking to fight the state. I think that's, you know, I just think that's a good way to get yourself locked up and go to jail. I try as hard as I can to come up with ways that the state either just chooses not to touch me. I think that's much more in keeping with the teachings of Christ. Don't fight. Don't fight the majority of people. They will turn on you and rend you. Even if they're wrong, you can point out that you think they're wrong. You know, they'll laugh, go on their merry way because they're it's because people tend to follow the majority. Oh, I think I'll bring that up as my next idea, maybe even make it into the next thing. Because I might just talk about that, because it's something that I've considered way back in the past, and now that I'm coming back to it, it seems like. Anyway, okay, I tend to be if I don't agree with something, I tend to be a non-person rather than an anti-person. An anti-person is somebody who takes great pains to destroy their enemy or to attack them. You know, it's kind of a warlike thing. There's us and there's them, and the only way we'll get what we want is if somebody else loses. I tend to be a non-person who is kind of a live and let live person. I don't mind those people having what they want. Except if it affects me, and what I tend to do is try to find ways to be free of that, to not do that. Even that is fraught with danger anymore, because if you're outside of the norm, people will, number one, notice, and number two, start telling you can't do that anymore, and find all kinds of ways of doing it. I was reading this article from this guy who decided that he really liked Native American culture. He thought that was more pure and better than the culture we have now. I wouldn't doubt that in many ways it probably was. A little more primitive, which is fine too. I'm not against being primitive either. There's a lot to be said for it. Anyway, so he had started living in these wampums, you know, these bark-covered kind of hut almost like structures. Bigger, you know, because we're modern people and we just need things big. We need a big house, need a big car, need big this and big that. It's like, I'm not big on that either, but I'm not going to fight against it like anti. Like I said, I am non big car. I am non, you know, big house. Although my house is pretty good size. Look at the size of my family. Almost everybody in my family shares a room except for Matt, because, you know, when he did share a room, it was horrible. He had half a room. He shares his room with my office. We put up a little partition wall so he could have what feels like his own room, that he can go in there and nobody else is allowed in there unless he tells them they're allowed in there. And I think that's important too. Anyway, so this guy had built this thing, and he had a family come out with some small children to live there. And of course, the first thing that happened was when the authorities found this was happening, they took their kids and put them in foster care, because they said, that's not decent. The only way you're allowed to have children is if you have them in a regular zoned stick belt house, the way we like to see it. And it's like, whoa! You know, that, see, all this stuff lined up together, that's statism. That's saying you can't live that way, even though people live that way thousands of years. You came from a culture that lived like that, because they don't think anybody should have to live like that, you know. We invade and destroy families because we usually do it for the sake of the children. And you go, yeah, and you put them into your government indoctrination camps and turn them into good little mind slaves. Ooh, is Jay starting to get a little heated? A little rabid? I'm not anti-school either. I say let the schools live. In fact, I've been known to say that we should double the teacher's salaries just to placate them, so that they don't get nervous, because there's nothing worse than a nervous teacher trying to protect their job to destroy kids, or to make sure that kids don't get what's really needed. That'll do it. So the first thing we have to do is make teachers feel all comfortable and happy, and everything's going to be fine. I would love for the school to be non-compulsory. See, not anti-compulsory, non-compulsory, which means you don't have to go to school, and try to spin it in a way that it makes the teachers feel even better. You know, all those troubled, nasty kids that they don't like, they can just throw them out of school. And guess what? You know, the kid doesn't have to come back because it's non-compulsory. There's a whole lot of people that I don't think would take their kids to school. There's plenty that would because, you know, it would still continue to be what it is today, cheap, a cheap babysitting service, a free one, as far as most poor people think, even though it costs a ton to keep it up. And does somebody pay for it? Eh, sort of. Maybe not. But that's the whole discussion of, like, dollars and stuff like that. Anyway, okay. So there were my topics for this particular episode. Episode 600, the big round number. We'll do it again on number 700, I guess. Just because. And that's okay, because I'm just going to immediately go in and do 601 and then, you know, just go right on with life. It's not that great of a milestone. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to the Life Autistic Episode 600. And for all that means, I'm going to get this pointer down here. Have a great day.